The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Sunday edition of the Busted Open Podcast with Justin LaBar. I'm Jonathan Hood. And Justin, Backlash and Lyon, France was off the chain. The crowd was amazing.
That's the type of crowd you want as a performer. You can do no wrong.
How about the main event for the Undisputed WWE Championship? Cody Rhodes taking on AJ Styles, two veterans, cutting it up.
First time ever, and this one lived up to the expectation.
And the debut of Tongaloa to the Bloodline.
I did not have this one. I did not call that being the surprise for Backlash.
It was an unbelievable show in France. We're talking about it on the Sunday edition of the Busted Open Podcast. Let's start off first in Lyon, France. Shout out to the fans in France, Justin. Yesterday at Backlash, SmackDown as well, the fans made an above-average card elevated to another level. The volume, the anticipation, the chance, the appreciation, it was just off the chain.
It really was. I mean, and all the matches we got all were entertaining matches, you know, quality stuff. You know, there's some stories going into it. There's, okay, what's going to happen? Even if the outcomes were predictable, there's still, you know, some wild cards that I wanted to see of how they did what. But yes, that crowd, you're right, elevated that card. That crowd made, you know, Backlash in the history of Backlash, which goes back into the 90s, you know, Backlash can sometimes be, you know, oh, the scraps left over, or, you know, you're coming off of WrestleMania, you know, the one show you really don't want to have to follow. That might have gone down as the funnest Backlash to watch. I mean, Jonathan, you and I could have gone out into the middle of the ring and done a spelling bee, and I'm pretty sure it would have been entertaining based upon the reactions and songs that would have been prompted.
I think you're right. Because they're just hot for everything, right? Crowds like the UK, crowds like France, crowds like Puerto Rico, crowds like, you know, a lot of them in Europe. They cheer everyone like everyone's a superstar. And by the way, they're all a superstar on that stage. They are treated like superstars. And, you know, it's a smaller card for Backlash because that's kind of how Triple H likes it. You don't have to put everybody on the card. Just be able to centerpiece the stories that you're going for, the championships that you want to be able to put there on the card. But the crowds cheered everyone because everyone is a superstar. That's an 11,000 seat building. And you would think that it sounded like 75,000 people in the arena because people were so excited to see wrestling. This is the PLE, the SmackDown, everything else that happened. It was the highest grossing SmackDown and the highest grossing PLE that the WWE's ever had. It just shows you how big this snowball is.
I mean, every angle, you're right. I mean, like, everybody's watches and phones going off, giving them noise warnings of how loud it is in the building and it's not safe for you. And yeah, I mean, gate wise, I think I read something like the average ticket price was like $300 to be there. So that, you know, that tells you about the arena gate and why that hit that record. And yeah, that crowd treated everybody like a star. That crowd played along. They played along. You know, they gave respect and appreciation when it was time to give respect and appreciation just for seeing what they were seeing and seeing the talent, you know, put their bodies on the line and to entertain them. But at the same time, when it was time to boo, they booed. when it was time to not yeet, they not yeeted. They did not at any point in time take over. This was not a New York crowd. This was not a Philly crowd. They weren't trying to they weren't trying to make it all about themselves. They wanted to be stars, but they wanted to play along with the show. Boo the heels, cheer the faces, even to a point, and we'll get to it later. There was one point in the night where at one particular match where things kind of started to break down. I'm not sure. I think I have an idea what happened, but you know, but even then, if you'd have done, if it would have happened in a New York crowd or a Philly crowd, especially the Philly crowd, then it would have been the things could have gone off the rails. But this crowd just played again, kind of played along and just kept supporting.
There's no doubt about that. And so what I look at for this, Justin, is when I think about these crowds we saw, Puerto Rico comes to mind because we saw Bad Bunny in a fantastic performance, and just how the crowd was molten hot just to see Bad Bunny. Not just because he's just a huge musical star, but for him to be in the ring and to be able to be flawless in the ring the way he did, the crowd was into that. And so I look at what we see in overseas, and I see what happens in the UK and France, and I like the business model for the WWE. They have already taken care of, you know, Charleston, West Virginia. They're good in Atlanta, Georgia. They're good in Denver, Colorado. They can still draw a house anywhere in the United States. But I just like that the WWE says, you know, in the previous regime under Vince, we couldn't travel like this and be able to bring cameras. Yeah, we could travel and have house shows, but now we have an opportunity to go globally, put a camera in these places, and just see how the crowd can enjoy it. When you have not been around some of these cities and countries for a long time, I would imagine the crowd would be molten hot for this, right? So I just like that Nick Khan and Triple H coming together saying, we're going to be in Germany, we're going to be in France, we're going to, and just kind of taking over the world by showing the rest of the country, of the United States and North America, hey, everyone enjoys the WWE, not just North America. And I think it's a great business plan.
It's a great business plan, and there's no end in sight. You know, I mean, if you listen to the post press conference, Triple H obviously definitely alluded to they'll be back in France, and you know, one of the reporters asked about the, I guess there's a 60,000 first football stadium right next door to where they were last night, and you know, but then they talked about he noted Italy. He noted how loud they were for Italy. They did a house show, I guess, two nights prior, and so they'll be looking into Italy. That was a very funny soundbite. Triple H, he goes, "When I get back home, I'm going to be looking into Italy," as if he had never stepped foot in Italy before in all of his years. But yeah, I mean, there's so many markets, so there's no end in sight to this. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but having that show in France, loud crowd, show's done by 4 o'clock Eastern time, I start the rest of my day. Put them on, France. I'm fine with it.
Totally fine for us, right?
I mean, five matches, so we get done for the Kentucky Derby. Out the door.
Oh, it's perfect. It is perfect time. Then that was always the bugaboo with the WWE saying, "Well, we can't have international events because of the time difference. No one will watch." Well, there was a time for that in which you can make the case that maybe that wasn't the right time, but now is the right time to try new things. It's a new regime, so you, of course, you're going to try new things. And so with WWE being in France, what I think about, I don't know if it was in your mind, but as I was watching that crowd, just hot for everything, I was thinking about here in the United States and how there are selected cities that get hot, but can't get as hot as France, not get as hot as Italy, not get as hot as Puerto Rico. I mean, I don't sit in my seats when I go to a wrestling event thinking, I wonder what AEW Rampage's ratings were this week. I don't compare WWE to anything else that I'm watching in professional wrestling. I told you the last show I went to is New Japan, the Windy City Riot at Wintrust Arena in Chicago. I wasn't thinking about anything else except what was in the ring. And I wasn't texting my friends like, this is not as good as AEW, or this is not as good as WWE. You know, I was concerned about the men and women busting their ass for me, entertaining me. And so I don't know. I don't think that was going on in France.
Jonathan, make sure we get good pictures of the hard camera side. Were there any seats filled in the hard camera side?
That's right. That wasn't my concern. And so, like, there's we know the hot markets in United States and around North America, but when you see this is a whole different level. I just want to send a shout out to those fans, because that was just, to me, it just made what I thought was a pretty good card a great card, just based on how everyone was into it.
Yeah, it has me excited for, you know, again, they have a lineup of them. I mean, we're obviously they're in Saudi next, and we've seen the Saudi crowds. That's not necessarily going to be, you know, any new or novelty, but you know, then they're in, I think, Scotland for the Clash, Toronto for Money in the Bank, come back to Cleveland for SummerSlam, then they're in Berlin. I mean, so yeah, looking forward to these shows. But yeah, now I have like a little bit extra like on some of these international shows just because they're proving that they are of a different energy, even if the card on paper, by our spoiled American standards, because we get all the, or you know, WWE comes through our towns 2-3 times a year. You know, by our spoiled standards, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, more of these international shows because it brings a life to them that you don't get in a lot of American cities.
And of course, as we talk about this, here's one of our producers, Zach, sticking his beak into the show. I mean, didn't say anything, but just turns the camera on as if we're dissing Philly. No one's dissing Philly, Zach. No one's dissing Philly. Again, a big house. The problem is, it was a little too cold. And because it's outside, you couldn't get the full feel of the crowd and them being in full throat because it was
Well,
outside.
I think what aggravated him is when I said how like Philly, especially Philly, you know, they would take over shows, or like if there's a screw up in the ring, you know, I'm thinking Philly, you know, you effed up, you effed up. Yeah, that's the kind of Philly kind of thing that they would do.
That's what they do. Nothing wrong with that. Holding wrestlers accountable.
Oh, maybe if WrestleMania tickets weren't so expensive, we'd get the actual Philly fans to, you know, to show up. It wouldn't have been like that if, you know, we're going for $50 a pop. But no, we got to spend 300 plus.
Well, Zach, just understand. I mean, that's why God built the 2300 arena. That's fine. Swanson and Rittner is fine. That's fine. $10 ticket. You can get as loud as you want, right? Nothing wrong with that.
That's where the real Philly fans go.
That's right. Exactly
They don't have a key card to get into Mania, I guess.
right. And quite frankly, for the real Philly wrestling fan, they would prefer to be on Swanson and Ritter, the 2300 arena, then WrestleMania, because that's not their bag. That's not their cup of tea. They want to see
That's right.
blood and guts and some fun. That's what they want to see. 877-344-4893, 877-FIGHT93 is our phone numbers. We're talking about Backlash from Lyon, France, and of course the main event, Cody Rhodes against AJ Styles, boy, for the Undisputed Championship. That match surpassed my expectations. You got a couple of great veterans, a great contest, solid work. We saw the match on paper. We saw them come together for this. And Justin, I don't know about you. I'm watching this and I'm thinking, boy, this matchup is going to deliver because it's two veterans and know exactly what they're doing. So for me, Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles, it delivered.
For me, it did as well. First off, I love all the different connections that there were, and they all these connections were addressed by WWE. This build was relatively quick, given the fact that we finished Mania. You know, there's a okay. There's fallout from Mania, making sure we know the bloodline, what's the situation of bloodline. Then there's the draft. So this whole and then AJ, you know, in an eliminator tournament earns his way. So it wasn't a real long build, but I love all the things they address. I love the fact that these two had not ever had a match together. I love the fact that, you know, Michael Cole was allowed to point out these are two former leaders of the Bullet Club. I love that we got to point out AJ Styles beating Dusty Rhodes some 20 plus years ago for the NWA title. So I love all the connection here that made this match just a little bit more. Because look, reality is nobody betting, not me, not you, not Zach, nobody betting is betting for AJ Styles to win this. Cody Rhodes is not losing his first televised world title defense. And so you have to just let this match be what it's going to be. And again, I know that bugged some people that, oh, this is very predictable. Well, you know what? Just enjoy the show. Enjoy what it's going to be. This is AJ is still a credible victory for Cody to have on his resume whenever he turns in this world title run that looks good, having beat AJ Styles, a surefire Hall of Famer in multiple companies. So I was fine with it. And yes, it did surpass. And then again, having Cody's first, I'm using the air quotes here for people in Radio Land, predictable match, having it in front of those fans made it all the more because there's nobody sitting on their hands because it was predictable. There was nobody checking their phone because it was predictable. Those fans treated it like this was the payoff match in a year-long feud. They reacted to everything. There was not a moment of silence, and I loved it.
You know, it's an interesting It's an interesting word when you talk about wrestling and predictable. You know, predictable meaning that, hey, I know that this person or this tag team is going to win. Okay, that's great, but you don't know the inner workings of how the matchup is going to evolve, how it's going to be able to be rolled out. I never understood that about wrestling fans saying that so-and-so is predictable, this match is predictable. Well, what about from the bell to bell? Do you know exactly what moves are going to be made? You don't know. That's why that match delivered for me.
I've said this for years. I've always stuck to this phrase. Predictable is okay as long as it's logical. You don't go and sit down. I don't go to a movie theater, you know. I'm so thrilled to watch these new Ghostbusters movies that they're rolling out. Mm-hmm. I don't go to the movie theater with any kind of expectation that the ghost is going to win and that the world's going to end in the apocalypse. Right. I go with the assumption of the prediction that the Ghostbusters are going to find a way to get shit done.
Yes.
I just want to see, because it's logical, so we can make another Ghostbusters movie. If you live constantly going, just wanting to be just fed nothing but swerves and surprises, bro, then you're going to find yourself in a corner very quickly with nowhere to go. So, you know, yeah. I enjoy watching the Die Hard movies. I expect John McClane's going to take down a terrorist in his country.
Yes.
But let me see how.
Yes.
Let me see how. Let me hear John McClane quip a few good one-liners.
I know the premise. I know the premise coming in. I know how the ending could happen. But what's the story? What's the story to be able to get there? So when people talk about predictability, because before the matches, they say, I think so-and-so is going to win. Okay, so you were right. So-and-so's like, congratulations. Here's a dilly bar for you because you predicted that Cody Rhodes was going to be able to retain his championship. But what about the work in the middle? What about Cody Rhodes against AJ Styles, a matchup which is amazing to me, we've never seen before, and how they put the work in? How about this situation where people say, oh, babyface versus babyface never works? AJ Styles can scrunch up his face and he can be able to flex all he wants. That guy's a babyface because there's so much respect for him. Look what happened in the main event with the crowd. The crowd gave him so much respect, talking about AJ Styles. The cheers, the chants. He had as much chance and as many cheers as Cody Rhodes did because the respect is there. I know that he comes across as this heel. He's trying to be. He can't be, man. There's so much love for AJ Styles that even though he wants to be a heel, he'll never come across to the fan. He's got so much respect that he can't be a heel to everybody.
He's trying. Yeah, you know, the last. Before I say this, I think the last like real heel AJ that I think of is like the build to the mania with Taker, of course, the COVID mania. And, you know, because of the pandemic hitting right there, they ended up doing the graveyard matches. So they had full control to do this, you know, obviously in front of no fans. It's all cinematic. But had COVID not happened and had mania took place in front of a sold out crowd in Tampa, AJ would have gotten some cheers.
Sure.
It would have been cheers. If nothing else, by the time the match was over, and I assume Taker wins, there would have been cheers and there would have been a handshake of respect and an embrace between the two. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, and then this is a guy who in the builds calling out Taker's wife. You know, I mean, so like, and that tells you that about AJ Styles, about people's want or lack thereof to boo him.
The Busted Open Podcast is now available on YouTube. This is Dave LaGreca, host of Busted Open, the number one pro wrestling show on the planet. You can now watch and listen to the award-winning Busted Open Podcast every single day on YouTube. Our best interviews, behind-the-scenes access, and some of our best content from the past, all available right now when you go to youtube.com/@BustedOpenPodcast. Subscribe right now.
Cody Rhodes. It's really about building momentum for Cody Rhodes and his championship credibility as the guy in the WWE. You know, I saw someone tweet yesterday after Backlash that, you know, watching Cody Rhodes, he seems cheesy. And my thought is, I don't see him as cheesy. I see him as genuine. Here's a guy here that has a Cena-like feel right now as champion, as a personality. When I look at him, I just see a guy that need to be able to have a banger of a match against a veteran like AJ Styles to get himself going as champion, and I think that he succeeded.
Cody is like we're starting to really see the picture come into great clarity and focus. He's got like all the perfect traits to be this all-American good guy as wrestling, most notably WWE, is returning to being cool again, to quote the final boss. I mean, you have Cody, who American nightmare. So, okay. So a little bit of pride if you're American, just right there for those of us here in the U.S. You know, okay, got that. Sure. American nightmare, nice little play on words from his father. Oh, that's right. He's a multi-generational family. This isn't somebody that they just plucked, put in the performance center, and trying to manufacture and force me to like this. This guy's grew up in the business. We saw this guy fail his previous gimmicks as Stardust, and this guy also left and went and did his own thing in wrestling and started another company. Like, he's proven, whether he's covered in blood, getting beat up with The Rock outside in the rain, or he's doing the ass kicking, he's proven that he can be a tough guy. You know, he's not SAWFT, but he's also still, as you said, genuine. He's authentic. You can let your kids watch him, and you can feel okay about your kids wanting to, you know, follow more Cody Rhodes on the internet, or follow more Cody Rhodes, however they want to consume Cody Rhodes. Like, it's the perfect recipe right now. You know, maybe 10 years ago, Jay Hood, I don't know. Maybe 10 years ago, when the business was a different point and the company was a different point, maybe we already would be at the let's go Cody, Cody sucks. Mm-hmm. But to the credit of Cody Rhodes, and then also to the credit of Triple H and the booking, they have all managed to still keep this ride, even now that he's already reached the top of the mountaintop. And the only place to go right is down, right? He's already at the top of the mountain. You can't go any higher.
Yes.
So this is normally where he starts falling back down. But it's early, I understand. But so far, so good. The people are still, whoa, they're right there with him the entire time.
Yes, as a supreme babyface in this company, and I could argue the number one babyface in this company, that he's a draw. For a long time, it's a WWE that's a draw, but he's a draw because people want to see what he... First of all, they want to hear him talk, and secondly, they want to see him win. I don't know if they are interested in like everything he does in the ring, but they do want to see him win and come out on top because they want to see the smile. They want to see him hold up the championship. Now, Justin, for a couple years, the money was in the chase, just like his dad. His dad specialized in the chase, specialized in it, man. I'm going to beat Ric Flair for the heavyweight championship. Or I'm going to go to Florida. I'm going to go to Charlotte. I'm going to go whatever it takes to be able to finally win the NWA championship. So now that Cody did the same thing, chasing for the championship, and now he's the champion. And so you're right. The next step is for him to fall off. But I would say that Cody Rhodes, depending on the opponent, will still be the attraction. People still want to see him at the top of the card. People still want to see what the end result is. They want to see if the smile is still going to be there. Is he still going to be talking to kids after the matches? You know, is he going to be the next big match, John? no matter what happens, man, he still finds a way to come out on top. He'll bleed. He'll take a beating, but he still will come back. Let's see if he can take the mantle of Big Match John, just like Cena was for so many years.
Cody doesn't have his five moves of doom, does he?
No, that's the difference. and by the way, the novelty of Cody Rhodes is I'm not even counting his moves. He's just like it's in that something. Like when you're watching him, he's just a whirlwind because he does 8 to 10 things, and it doesn't have to be all in a row. It's always in different parts of the match, and so it just makes him very unique. It makes him very unique, and I think that this matchup here that he had against AJ Styles builds momentum for Cody Rhodes. As Cody got a chance to speak to the press in France after Backlash, he talked about what his next opponent could be.
There are so many. I feel I've only scratched the surface perhaps with AJ Styles. I don't know if we'll revisit that, but that's the type of fight I'd love to get into one more time. And he left a little ding on my shoulder that perhaps I'd like to return the favor. But there's a lot of folks. I'll tell you one that maybe is a little strange. And not going to sound strange, but I'd love I could name everybody, but LA Knight is somebody that I look at because I get it. You know, oh, they're two good guys. Well, I understand that, but there's a flavor there. There's something about it. And it's like I was saying to you, when you got that fever, you got to know, you want to know. No, I'm the man. No, I'm the man. All that just macho, toxic, alpha stuff that, you know, I still have a bit of, I suppose. But there's so many. There's probably new faces that we don't even know. And I'm not going to say his name. He had a birthday the other day. But he returned a gift to me that I did not appreciate. And when that man returns, I'd like to take something from him as well.
You saw him at The Rock there. Cody Rhodes speaking to the press after the matches.
Yeah, nice little long game tease for whenever the final boss is back. Whether that might be not till 2025, who knows? I disagree on the LA Knight. I disagree on the LA Knight, and I'm one of those people. Oh, it's face versus face. I don't do it because I don't see what good is going to come out of this. I mean, unless you're going to have LA Knight, you know, set fire to Cody's bus and steal his kid or whatever, like, and then nobody wants that. So no, right now as it currently stands, let LA Knight be Cody Rhodes' best friend. Let them be seen palling around, hanging around near the bus. Let them be seen taking some shots of that Wheatley vodka. Let LA Knight be Cody's best bud if they're going to be on the same brand, which they are, which I think is a mistake, by the way. But if they're going to be on the same brand, let them be best friends. Let LA Knight go for the mid-card title on SmackDown. Do not roll LA Knight out there for a match against Cody Rhodes. I fear there is just way too much risk, way too much harm, not enough return. LA Knight's going to lose. Another big match, he loses. Don't do it.
I would say that was off the top of his head. He was just thinking about wrestlers. I don't believe that was a foreshadowing of LA Knight against Cody Rhodes. Maybe somewhere down the line, maybe not this year, but at some point that could happen. What I would say is that anything's possible in the WWE, as you well know. And so I would say that LA Knight at some point will have another shot at the championship, but just not right now. LA Knight, by the way, without a championship is already over. When you're a top merch seller, when everything that you do, the crowd's with you, you're already a winner. So the championship does not necessarily solidify who LA Knight is. LA Knight himself is doing just fine. Cody Rhodes needs to be able to have breathing room with this championship. That's what's important for him to be able to have these matches, these banger matches, and for him to retain and just keep moving. The story was told so you can be the champion. So let him be the champion. And so there'll be other contenders that are more heel-like. You might have to delve back into the bloodline. LA Knight's not one of those guys. I know that he mentioned The Rock. That's foreshadowing. Seth Rollins is way down the line. But there's going to be interesting matches. As long as they're interested in Cody, there's going to be great matches for him to be a part of.
And I'm fine with that. So if what you're telling me is, you know, Cody was put on the spot, but asked a legitimate question by a legit reporter. There wasn't a plant in there. If you're saying, okay, well, he's being asked to name somebody. Obviously, that's an easy one to do the long game with The Rock and tease that one. But if he has to name somebody else, he's not going to put over a heel. He's not going to call out a heel. So if you're saying he just that was his way of just putting over LA Knight to say, oh, man, he's championship material.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I think so.
That better be all that it is. Do not even try to mess with that being a match that you book right now.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And not for me. Not necessarily. Hey, we said at the time, LA Knight against Roman Reigns was premature. That shouldn't have happened in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. I know that's what the Crown Prince wanted, but that's not necessarily what we wanted because LA Knight was on the way, and then you cut his balls off because Saudi Arabia just had to have that match. Didn't need that match. And I know that some will say, well, that didn't hurt LA Knight. Well, people thought in their mind's eye, if Cody's not going to finish the story and LA Knight's got all this momentum, maybe he could be the guy. That's the guy that sounds like Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin at the same time when he speaks. He has all the mannerisms. He's got, got the momentum. But it didn't happen for him. And so, to me, he took steps backwards to move forward up again. Again, he's still not in the main event status yet, and that's okay. Justin, that's okay. Everybody can't be in the main event. When LA Knight comes up, he gets a big pop when he comes out. That's great. That's great for him. It improves his brand. People want that T-shirt. People want to do that yeah chant, and he's already over. He doesn't need a championship right now.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, you mentioned Saudi Arabia, and we alluded to, you know, that's the next show they have is the King and Queen of the Ring. And obviously, you know, I know we'll get to it. Obviously, the King and Queen of the Ring crowning that, and it feels like it's going to actually matter and move back to having some prestige like it used to. That's all fine and good for the finals of that to be on this next Saudi Arabia show, but we know that these Saudi shows also got to have a little bit of a sexy marquee. Mm-hmm. And nothing against Gunther or any of the other participants that are going to be involved in this King or Queen of the Ring, but that doesn't necessarily sell. The finals of a tournament isn't necessarily the sexy marquee. So I'll be real curious. I assume Cody would be on this show as your babyface champion. I'll be real curious who his opponent is, and obviously there's not much time. It's what, 3 weeks basically, right? So I'll be curious of what match they give Cody. Like I'm trying to think of like what's a big match they could do that again. That's a one off that Cody can win to keep that going, but it makes for that sexy marquee. I mean, these Saudi shows, they look comp. I mean, they're a stadium show. You know, can big match John come out, and can you let John be a, you know, can you do a John Cena versus Cody Rhodes for one? I'm serious, because you need that kind of a match for a Saudi show, right?
There's going to have to be a passing of the torch at some point. I just don't know which show between Cody and Cena at some point. If you do it in Saudi so we can move on. You and I have to review it on Sunday, and that's in. Quite frankly, that's usually a show I skip, but because we have our show together, I'll watch. That's usually a show. It's like, okay, I'll see it later, or I'll just watch, you know, a couple of matches I like, but I know we have to review it, so I'll watch it for our show. But if you're going to do that match, go ahead. Just do it in Saudi. It's fine. And just so we can just turn the page.
I'll forever remember watching the greatest Royal Rumble in 2018, because I was watching it sitting in the hospital delivery room waiting for my son to be born. That's how my son came into the world. In my mind.
Please, did you tell him that? Did you tell him that's how he came into the world? That terrible greatest. Oh, my God. The Titus slide? Yeah. You recall this, right?
Oh, I recall it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I recall it.
Yo, what's going on? This is Bully Ray from Busted Open on SiriusXM's Fight Nation. For 15 years, we've brought you the best pro wrestling talk on the planet. And now, we're bringing you even more. Yo, guys, welcome to Busted Open After Dark. Every Wednesday night, as soon as AEW Dynamite ends, I'm bringing you instant reactions with the Busted Open Nation. The only place to party on Wednesday nights is Busted Open After Dark. With me, Uncle Bully. Download it on Apple, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast.
As a wrestling fan, you know it's hard. All the blood, the sweat, the tears, the chairs. It's a hard day out there. And do you know what tastes incredible after a hard day in the ring? A Mike's Hard Lemonade. You get all hot and bothered, and then you can cool off with an ice-cold hard lemonade. Since day one, Mike's Hard Lemonade has been making lemonade the hard way. They take three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked, from family farms and cold-press them to create a taste like no other. They choose to do things the hard way because they know hard days deserve a hard lemonade. That's why for 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. Find now in store. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium malt beverage with flavors. Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Experience the joy of running in the new Triumph 22 from Saucony, the original running brand. Stacked with luxury foam cushioning, Triumph 22 turns miles into smiles with the ultimate blend of comfort and energy return. Shop Triumph 22 at Saucony.com. That's SAUCONY.com.
The best part of spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Head to factormeals.com/busted50 and use code BUSTED50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code BUSTED50 at factormeals.com/busted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Well, we had a surprise early on a Backlash. You get a matchup with the Bloodline against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. By the way, find someone that loves you as much as the crowd loves KO and Orton. Find someone that loves you as much as the, oh my God. Honest to God, Justin LaBar, I could have just watched for the next 3 hours KO and Orton just being serenaded by the fans in France. Oh my God. I don't know, and Susumu, you can look it up on Cage Match. I don't know the last time Orton's been in France. It's got to be close to a decade. They brought him home like he was their own, like a long-lost son. My God, man, when a crowd from a different country sings your song word for word, and they played the song, if I'm not mistaken, almost three times. They had to hit the button to just make sure that the song kept rolling the entire time. That just gave me goosebumps to watch that for KO and for Orton. Orton, I don't know how he was able to hold it together. Seriously. I mean, they are loving that guy.
Hit that loop button in the sound sound truck. I mean, yeah, I mean, it was
wow.
It was awesome. You know, it's I watched Orton take some of the back bumps he did on tables and this and that, and obviously he's coming off back surgery. That's where you need adrenaline, my friend. That's where you need the love of the crowd to will you through. Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, they're into that tag team. It's a nice little gimmick with the R and then the KO and KO's font and letters for the shirt. Watching them fight all over the building and having to, you know, they're doing the double screen, the split screen to follow all the action. You know, so many fun moments. You know, KO's on the top of the barricade and he does a frog splash off of it. And then Randy gets to the top of the barricade like he's going to do the same thing, and he just gingerly hops down. it was a lot of fun to watch. This was a great call. I would have not been as smart on paper to predict that this would be the match that I kicked the show off with.
No, it was amazing. And Kevin Owens hates Prime. You can tell that every time that Prime, you know, rack of juices are right there, he's just knocking it over. He's just doing whatever he can just to shit on Prime. For whatever reason, he just doesn't like it. I think it's because he doesn't like Logan Paul. Yeah. I mean, he takes it on Logan Paul, which is just amazing. But you know, we watched this match, and it was much better than I thought it was going to be. So I'd agree with you. I did not expect all this. I thought four veterans, it's going to be fine, Bloodline against KO and Orton. But there was extra juice because we got now Tangaloa is a brother of Tama Tonga. They were part of Guerrillas of Destiny in New Japan. If you watch New Japan, you know that those two, they dominated the tag team scene. They dominated part of the Bullet Club. And now, as I predicted many months ago, more Samoans are coming. I've said it since we worked with you. I said, Justin, more Samoans are coming. It's not just what you see. There's going to be more Samoans that's going to be coming into the mix. I'm so excited for Guerrillas of Destiny now being part of WWE. And by the way, 6 months ago, a year ago, it wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right time. But now is the right time under Triple H. And the reason why it's the right time is because these guys, Guerrilla of Destiny, they're not trying to do your, they're not dancing. They're not chanting. They're there because they want to wreak havoc over the WWE. That's the difference. They are not the Usos. Oh, no, no. They're not even Roman Reigns. Those guys are serious. When you mention, and we hear this in the broadcast all the time, Sons of Haku. Okay, so what do you think of Haku? You think that guy was singing and dancing? You think that he was smiling and doing jazz hands in the ring? He was not. He was a serious opponent, someone to be reckoned with in WCW and WWE. So the idea that G.O.D. now is part of WWE, this is the right time because they're so different than the other Samoans that's in WWE.
Well, and it's nice that WWE is allowed to, or they allow, rather, like Michael Cole and Corey Graves to acknowledge these guys, as you said, you know, dominated New Japan, I think, what, 10-time tag champs? I mean, so that's, you know, right there. You know, you don't need a show. You don't need to, you know, have all kinds of New Japan footage necessarily and have a big old video package. Maybe you do. Maybe they do that on SmackDown. I don't know. But just being able to acknowledge the team name they were, for those who do know, and then even if you never watched one match of them as Guerrillas of Destiny in New Japan, just by saying these guys have been 10-time tag team champions elsewhere, that at least for nothing else, even for the most new or casual fan, oh, wow, okay, so they won a lot of titles. So like, it should immediately just allow you to know something, on top of the fact that this person's joined the Bloodline, and as we've seen, if you're in the Bloodline, you're somebody. This is a pretty powerful and prestigious line of blood. Okay, here. So, I mean, it's you're right. It's a great. The moment is now. The time is now. It works now. One thing I will say, since Tama Tonga has become part of the Bloodline, you know, this was his first televised match, I believe. Mm-hmm. And the bulk of the match, Bloodline was on defense, right? KO and RKO and it was just dominating most of this match. So I will say there does need to be some. I do think there should be some focus over the next few weeks on SmackDown and what have you to show, give me some Tama Tonga matches. Give me some Tongaloa. Like, I do need to see some, you know, I know they're dangerous men because in the Bloodline, as I just said, but I do need, I think, for the audience, like, give me some wins. Give me some in-ring work to show them being dominant. Just because of how the timelines fall off, we hadn't seen much of that from Tama Tonga since he got there, and of course now Tongaloa.
But to see these two together as a tag team, you know where we're headed. Somehow, some way, the Usos will find their way back together because they split up. You know, they come back together, they split up because brothers fight. It happens all the time, and they are able to come back together because of blood. And so now we get the Usos. And at some point, we're going to get Roman Reigns to return Justin LaBar. And then they're going to look on the other side, and they're going to see Solo Sokoa. They're going to see G.O.D., and there's others that are coming that will be part of this. So this will be quite the story moving forward because, as I mentioned, the Usos and Roman Reigns, that's old Bloodline, still relevant today. But when you have G.O.D. and Solo Sokoa and whoever else is coming on the other side in a situation where Paul Heyman can't do anything about it, that says a lot about where this story is going. They are in the fourth inning with this whole story. There's still more on the bone.
Paul Heyman is selling this so great, being so scared. Being so scared. Yeah. To like, you know, and then them telling him where to stand, put your finger up and acknowledge. I mean, like, he is selling all right now with the absence of Roman. Paul Heyman is selling all of this chaos wonderfully. I love it. What's the MFT? Do we know? Any guess of what MFT is? He keeps saying Thomas, my MFT.
That's when, like, you get a card, right? And then you just put a digital card, isn't it? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
The NFT.
I saw them. I don't know. I was trying to think.
Isn't the NFT is when, like, when you get a digital card and you try to get money for it? That's not what it is? No?
I'm trying to think of three words of an acronym. I was like, my family tree? Like, what's an MFT going to be?
I don't know, Justin LaBar. But you know what? That's part of the story.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream the podcast. That's the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Financial Channel 157. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
Experience the joy of running in the new Triumph 22 from Saucony, the original running brand. Stacked with luxury foam cushioning, Triumph 22 turns miles into smiles with the ultimate blend of comfort and energy return. Shop Triumph 22 at Saucony.com. That's SAUCONY.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up?
because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.